So we'll celebrate today the Sunday service as a Christmas service. So you can celebrate on a Christmas day with your family, or if you don't have any family with you here, and we invite you all for the barbecue. Jesus came to earth to let us know the heart of the God. So what I believe is, the service on a Christmas day, we should learn the heart of the God. So we should not miss out the word of God whilst the caroling and the event. So the messages we have to think about in Christmas are why we celebrate Christmas, and what to remember, and what decision we need to make. So through the service today, I hope every one of you find out what was the reason Jesus had to come to this earth. So whenever the day for the celebrate come, like a Christmas and Easter, and we should remember the thing is why Jesus had to come. So we'll continue our chronological study of the Bible today. Today is the ninth preaching of the 2 Kings and the book of Joel. The book we will learn today is Joel, and we have been looking mainly prophet called to North Israel so far. But now the book of the Joel, the message to South Judah start beginning. So as we go through the 2 Kings, we also looking at the prophetic books in timely manner. The book of the Joel is one of the books in which it is not clear when the book was written. The time in which the prophet Joel lived is not clear as well, because there is no mention about the time in the book. And also, there is no mention of the prophet Joel in any history books. So, in this case, we have to make a guess based on the contents of the Bible. Nevertheless, there are several arguments. It is largely regarded as an earlier kingdom when King Joash of Judah was king at a young age. And also, it might be later Babylonian captivity. So there are two arguments. One is the earlier time of the King Joash. One is the later Babylonian captivity. So one of the possible reasons for later dating is no name of the king being listed in the book of Joel. And that's why people say, because the Judah might have already destroyed. So there was no king name being listed in the book of Joel. And another reason based on expression to attend Jehovah in chapter 1 verse 9 and chapter 2 verse 17. So to attend Jehovah, this kind of expression was used only in the later captivities. So those two possible reasons for the argument for the people saying this is written later Babylonian captivity. However, if you think a little differently, not all kingdoms are ruined. Although there was a king, there is a little power of the king, so it can be seen as a time for someone else to rule, which is based on earlier dating during the King Joash. So both later dating, also earlier dating, both need to be considered and shouldn't be ignored. But I personally explain based on the earlier dating of the King Joash. The reason for earlier kingdom period of the book of the Joel, there are many references about the priest. Perhaps then the king's power is weak, and the priest played a major role in the country. But there has never been a time when the priest ruled over the country after the nation was destroyed. Rather, in 2 Kings chapter 11 and 12, King Joash's time seems the most appropriate time. For that reason, we should consider, without ignoring the evidence of both theories, the most feasible time, however, seemed to be the time of the King Joash of the Judah. Then the recording time, probably it was during the period of King Joash. However, it seems most appropriate that this record may be verbally transferred and later written down during the captivity. Then if we look for a historical background of what kind of events happened during the King Joash, we have to go back to the time of the South Judah king, Jehoshaphat, began a friendly alliance with North Israel, which had been hostile, and entered into a marriage alliance to King Ahab of Omni dynasty. The Athaliah, the daughter of King Ahab, and Jezebel, the evil queen, Jehoshaphat takes Athaliah as a daughter-in-law and make her as a queen of his son, King Joram. But the scene of the Omni dynasty starts from Omni, Ahab, Ahaziah. In North Israel is at its peak of the scene. So God judges through the man named Jehu at the time of Joram, the last king of Omni dynasty. In fact, the Joram destroyed all the Baal idols and his altar. So in some ways he made a reformation, but still could not leave the worshipping golden calf. So God took the sword of the judgment on him and his dynasty. So King Joram was injured in the war with the Syrian King Hazael. At this time, Ahaziah, king of Judah, went to visit King Joram of North Israel, who was under treatment in the north of Jezreel. But Ahaziah died with the King Joram of the Omni dynasty by Jehu. Does it bring the memory? So, as we just mentioned, Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel, was a queen, and her son just died by the Jehu while he was visiting king of North Israel. But what happened is, the Athaliah, rather than raise another grandchildren to follow his son's throne, she killed all the grandchildren to have the political power and become a queen. And she made a whole country as a Baal worship and bring the kingdom of South Judah into the scene to be perished. At this time, the prophet Joel probably had a prophetic activity, I guess. Because always a prophet comes the worst time and most sinful time to send a message from the God. When Athaliah killed all her grandchildren, the priest Jehoiada rescued Joash when he was 1 year old, and hid him in the temple for 6 years until he became 7 years. When he was seven, the priest Jehoiada raised Joash as king. Since then, Jehoiada would have ruled in support of young King Joash. So King Joash did as the priest Jehoiada taught. Destroy the temple of the Baal and defeating idols, repairing damaged temple in 2 Kings chapter 12. It's been written, God says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So while the priest Jehoiada was alive, King Joash followed the righteous way of the God. But as we have already talked about in the history, King Joash was not trained to have the initiative to live by the word of God by himself. So he lived according to the word of God when Jehoiada was his mentor. But after Jehoiada passed away, he lived a life of sin. He even then fell into the idolatry later and even killed the prophets who gave him advice. Eventually, he was killed by a servant. So when Jehoiada died, King Joash entered the path of corruption. So we can assume the prophet Joel lived through this period. Prophet Joel proclaimed God's message. Some said it's not very important when the book of Joel was written, as long as we understand the message of Joel. But I think that's not right, because it may cause our own personal interpretation of the passage if we do not know the historical background. So there are actually things that cause a lot of misunderstanding, especially with regard to the end of the world or the works of the Holy Spirit. So we need to know the historical background of that era. It is necessary to indicate as much as possible the background in which the prophet had to appear. This is how we understand what God will say through this prophet. Thus, on the basis of the text and historical background, it may be considered that some time had passed since Joash became king by the priest Jehoiada. So we can't really say when was it, but we can roughly guess he was about the time of the King Joash after he grown up. The purpose of the book of Joel is asking repentance to the kingdom of South Judah, who continue to insist on disobedience. As we mentioned, after priest Jehoiada passed away, and King Joash followed the evil way. There are now numerous prophets in the Bible, but their message is all one message. It's all about the heart of God. So the contents and the message of the book of Joel is not much different from the book of Hosea we just shared last week. So such a disobedience will lead to tremendous discipline of God. So Joel tried to let them know if they repent quickly and stand on the right path, Israel can avoid that discipline of God. So we have been looking at the history of North Israel so far. We have heard the prophet warning so clearly through the Amos and the Hosea. In Joel, these warnings are spoken to South Judah, and he is the first prophet to convey such a message in writing. The first one to be called the literary prophet was Amos, who was called for the North Israel. To classify the prophet as oral and literary prophets, the prophet record the Bible are called literary prophet. The prophet divided into two groups. One is an oral prophet, the other one is literary prophet. Literary prophet is who recorded the book of Bibles. The prophet sent to South Judah, namely Shemaiah during the Rehoboam and Azariah in King Asa's time. Hanani, Jehu, king of the Jehoshaphat, during the time of king of Jehoshaphat, Ahaziel, Eliezer, but also prophesied about South Judah, and there was also Zechariah, son of Jehoiada during the king Joash, who was warning Israel about their wrongdoing and God's judgment. The activities of these prophets were not documented, and they can only be seen in the book of 1 Kings through their warning on the disobedience. The first literary prophet to South Judah was the prophet Joel. So now the scene in the kingdom of South Judah has begun to emerge and beyond certain danger level as well. So looking at the general contents of the book of Joel, prophets are usually sent when people live in disobedience. The contents of prophetic books are rebuking sin. The pattern of recommending right path and the giving hope for the future is the usual pattern of the prophetic books. However, in particular, Obadiah and the Nahum are rebuke, curse, then destruction. But the book of Joel, however, there is no rebuke. It's a little bit different than the usual pattern of the prophetic books, because there was no rebuke, but the warning of the coming disaster and the counsel to repent and turn back to God, and the comfort and hope of the recovery. So the narrative of the Joel, like a mom's advice, and mom's intervene between child and the father, when father is extremely angry, ask children and persuade children to ask forgiveness from the father. That kind of heart of the mom, we can describe the book of the Joel. So when you read the Joel, if you read with the heart of mom, want to reconcile relationship between father and child, the book of Joel will help us to know the heart of God. So when we read the Bible, even if we don't know academic knowledges, this background, at least the simple background help you to understand better. So this going through the background of each book before you reading it through, I believe this is a kind of sharpening the knife before you use it. Sharpening your axe before you cutting the trees. So it gives you a lot easier understanding and more efficiently you understand when you actually go through each phrase. The structure of Joel in chapter 1 warns of the upcoming disaster, locust and famine. If Israel is insisting on disobedience, Chapter 2 tells what the disaster is like, mentioned in chapter 1, and make sure that God will recover when people repent and turn back. Furthermore, it reveals God's plan for people who keep their faith to the end. In chapter 3, persecution And the suffering will come when we keep our faith. But in the day of Jehovah, God will judge with justice and be responsible for His people. So the Bible we have, the book of the Joel consists of the 3 chapters, but the Catholic Bible and the Septuagint and the Hebrew Bible, the book of Joel consists of the 4 chapters. But contents are the same, no addition, but to separate the chapter from the chapter 2, verse 28 to 32 is regarded as a chapter 3, and the chapter the 3 in our book and deal as a chapter 4 in their books. So we'll go through the chapter 1 from the verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel, an invasion of locusts. Hear this, you elders, listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days, or in the days of your ancestors? Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. So what we can find from the Bible is not the repeating event. Event is one-off, but the lesson is repetitive. We do not have to go through the 400 years of Egyptian captivities and 10 plagues and events of the Red Sea for the lesson. We can learn from the history of the Bible. The world already experienced First and Second World War, but it shouldn't be repeated. We don't need to repeat for the lesson. So once is enough. So the actual event is enough for once, and it is a blessing to learn the lesson through the right reflection and the education, so that we can learn without going through the war and the slavery. So it is also important the whole family to educate our next generation, our children. The mission we clearly given from the God is sharing the word of God. The Bible repeatedly saying what we learn from the word of God, we also teach them to others. So biblical education is a mission given to all believers, every one of us. So when you learn God's word at the same time teach and share with someone else, your faith will grow much faster than just listening. So it is important that we read the Bible, understand it, and teach it. When we teach somebody else, we'll surely understand 100% of the word. This is the purpose and the reason of the church to be here today. And all the believers and Christians are here today. So chapter 1 verse 4, what the locust swarm has left, the gray locust have eaten. What the gray locust have left, the young locust have eaten. What the young locust have left, other locust have eaten. So here, the locust, gray locust, and young locust, they are just a different kind of locust. So what matter is the damage that such a locust caused. So still in around the world, in Korea in 2014, and also Egypt in 2013, and also 2011, even in Australia, there was a tremendous damage by the locust. So locusts in Egypt and Israel in 2013 are estimated around 30 million to 120 million. So these natural disasters are things that cannot be handled by the human power. So they are commonly expressed in the Bible as a God's disaster. When this swarm of the locust sits and fly away, all the grass and food is gone. The prophet Joel saw four such a swarm of the grasshopper locust eating up all the food. But however, there are cases where this is forcibly interpreted by symbolizing it. Some people say the locust, gray locust and young locust, they symbolize it as Assyria and Babylonia and Greek and Rome. But if you read this book many times, the text shows that this is not the right interpretation. Also, historical events show that Elisha had ministered in North Israel during the reign of Athaliah and the King Joash in Judah. As we have already seen, we know that famine continued several years. Therefore, the prophet Joel is now warning that it is natural disaster for the discipline that God will give to the disobedient Israel. Whether this locust symbolizes such an army from different dynasty or not, the answer is clear from the text. Chapter 1, verse 5. Wake up, you drunkard, and weep. Wail, all you drinker of wine. Wail because of the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips. A nation has invaded my land, a mighty army without number. It has the teeth of a lion, the fang of the lioness. Probably this verse and may make people to symbolize the each locust as a different dynasty. But I think that's too much over interpretation. Of the what actually verse is explaining about. Because if we continue read and following verses and make it clear. Because chapter 1 verse 7. It has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it away, leaving their branches wide. More like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the betrothed of her youth. Grain offering and the drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning, those who minister before the Lord. The fields are ruined. The ground is dried up. Grain is destroyed. The new wine is dried up. The olive oil fails. Despair, your farmers. Wail, you vine growers. Grieve for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed, the vine is dried up, and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the palm, and the apple trees, all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the people's joy is withered away. So as we read through these verses, it's clearly explained. This is not a certain kind of dynasty is coming after one after the other. This is actually natural disaster. So this verse describes the situation of the Israel, and whose teeth now look like a lion and have mouths of the lioness. It clearly depicts the desolation of the old plant and destruction of everything they eat, including grain and fruit. So it describes what happening as a swarm of locusts pass by. However, there are cases in which these verses are forcibly spiritually misinterpreted. The vine is Israel, and the fig tree symbolizes Jerusalem. If so, what would be the pomegranate, jujube, and apple tree? Whenever the word vine comes in the Bible, some people try to symbolize it as Israel and try to interpret fig tree as a Jerusalem and end up forced interpretation. The reason I'm telling you this is because the book of Joel is especially often used by the people led the Holy Spirit movement or the prophetic movement, and is often caused a misunderstanding about the book of Joel. But when you read the Bible, if you are able to understand the meaning from the text itself, then there is no need for forced interpretation. When Jesus speaks in parables, he explained the disciple on the spot what the parable meant, or explain it later so that those who hear the parable will know its meaning. So the Bible is not a book made of secret and password. God has created our languages that we can understand. So this is the reason why we are educating. Because we want every one of you to understand what actually Bible tells us about without misinterpretation and overinterpretation about verses. So once the prophet call out is to be understood primarily in terms of speaking to the people of his day, of the prophet, sending prophet to the people at that time, there is no need to tell the story in mystic way. Because there are still many people misinterpreting the word of God without understanding this historical background, and they interpret on their own way, which is very dangerous. Surely there is the story about the prophesize about what's going to happen in the end of the world. And in the book of Joel, there is also the mention about works of the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, what I'm talking about is over-interpretation on their own way, without any biblical, literal background. Just misuse the word spiritual interpretation when they just interpret whatever they think. Because the reason I over and over emphasize on the understanding of the history and literature and context of the Bible, because if we don't have a right understanding, interpretation makes a huge difference. Because the Catholic, Muslim, Mormon all use the same Bible. And Jehovah's Witness or this cult, they used and Seventh Day Baptist, they all use the same Bible, but they interpret on their own way. That's why it is dangerous, even though they read the Bible, if they don't have an understanding of the historical background. So prophetic book is intent to give the message to the people to repent. That's the prior purpose of the prophetic books. So there is no reason for prophet to use a mystic word not people to understand. Chapter 1, verse 13. Put on sackcloth, you priests, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, spend the night in the sackcloth. You who minister before God, my God. For the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly, summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. These verses can be the evidence or proof evidence for this time, the era of the book is written, because there is a lot of reference about the priest, and also there is a rebuke about on the elders rather than king. So Joel asked to repent and turn back here, not to want the king, but the elders and leaders of the nation. In particular, when it referred to the priest, those who attend the altar, those who attend to God, this is a verse that may be the evidence for the reign of young King Joash. When the evil Athaliah killed all his grandchildren to become king, Jehoiada the priest saved one-year-old prince, Joash, and hid him for 6 years. At the time, many priests and elders would have been able to help the priest Jehoiada in politics. So it is said that it was a time of the honest living in Jehovah's eyes. However, the high place were not removed, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. God's most detestable high place remained. So in North Israel, Beder and Dan had the golden calf, which continued to make sin. On the other hand, South Judah high place, perhaps it was an incubator of the sin that would continue to distort God's will. Through many generations of the kings, they do not abandon it. So God gives the priest an opportunity to rule the nation and to rectify the things that are broken and distorted. Even the priests did not abandon the high places, not living according to God's will, but compromised. Thus, the problem of this high place clearly shows that it was not the problem of young King Joash at the time, but the priests who ruled the nation on behalf of the king and elders. So God calls the prophet Joel to tell his elder and his people and priest to repent. So from the evil queen Athaliah, God saved Judah and gave the opportunity to the priest to raise the kingdom again according to the word of God, as by supporting King Joash. But soon after, also the will of God is a fade away by compromising of these elders and the priest. Based on chapter 1, their society becomes a liquor-loving society. In other words, God loves the word. God's word loses its priority. Rather than walking according to the God's will, the society where one's own greed and heart to live, the society where the money is the master. So we can see that Judah become a materialistic and corrupted society. When we are in the right relationship with God, our relationship in the world can be restored. However, our sinful relationship will be disappear. Historically, Even though North Israel and South Judah are trying to improve their relationship with other nations, when they have a problem in the relationship with God, they became perished and destroyed, trampled by the powerful nations, and suppressed by the powerful nation around. Every Christmas, we should remember the message that God sent to speak with the prophet, including Joel. God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah. Again and again, I sent my servant, the prophet, who said, "Do not do these detestable things that I hate." But they did not listen or pay attention. They did not turn from their wickedness or stop burning incense to other gods. So when we read the Bible, we should understand, apply, and reflect to our life. And this is a message God sent to us today. God sent me to today. So this news of the Jesus birth is not just a way of having the key to heaven. It is not a time to party, play, eat, and enjoy. It is to restore the right relationship with God. So the grace of Jesus birth gives us, in every place we are sent today, in the land of mission, we are qualified to live as a child of God, to live in light and salt, and to be a kingdom priest. He didn't give us a ticket to the heaven, He gave us a right to get into the heaven. So if we lose a relationship with God, and this religious life, it doesn't have any meaning, and it only bring us a disaster. So remember the message of the Joel and will of our God who sent Jesus. I hope you will finish 2019 well and prepare for the new days in 2020 with the Word of God. I will continue the following chapter in next week. Let's pray.